This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Metabolism has become the go-to explanation for weight. If someone stays slim, it's because they've got a fast metabolism. If losing weight feels hard, people often say their metabolism must be slow. But is metabolism really something that works differently from person to person like that? Or is the story far more complicated? Well, Assistant Professor Hayley O'Neill from Bond University joins us. Hayley, welcome to Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Hayley, when someone says, I've got a slow metabolism, or their metabolism is fast, what do they think is happening inside the body?
Well, this is a good question because it's something that we hear all the time, especially in my field, which is specialising in weight management, everything from dietary to surgical weight loss. And I guess between individuals, there is quite substantial variation in one's metabolism, but mainly it's determined by the size of a person. So how big we are, how much muscle we have, also our age. And there is some evidence that things like, you know, ethnicity and race can also play a role. But having, I guess, a fast metabolism or a slow metabolism, like and the natural variation between individuals, it's really there are equations that you can predict, and we're not really far off when we look at things like resting metabolic rate. And if you want, I can go into the complexities, because there's multiple things that make up one's metabolism, which is how much energy we burn in a day.
So when we say, like, we might say, look, you know what, I find I don't put on weight, I've got a high metabolism. I don't really necessarily know what I'm talking about. So are we talking about our ability to convert food or storage to energy? Is that right?
Yeah, so when we're in the context of weight, we're usually referring to metabolic rate, which is indeed how quickly your body converts food and stored energy into a usable form. But when we also talk metabolism, it actually, the definition is all chemical processes which allow your body to function, everything from breathing, digesting food or repairing cells, moving, you know, blood around our body. But, you know, if we're looking at how much energy someone burns in a day, so our total energy expenditure, it's made up of multiple components, from our basal or resting metabolic rate, which if you're not that active, it's probably contributes about 70%, 70 to 80% of your total energy expenditure. But then you've got the effect of, when we use energy when we're digesting and processing food. So that's probably about 10 to 15% of the total daily energy use. We've got a thing called non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is basically the amount of energy we use, with fidgeting, standing, walking, like more. And they have shown quite a big variation between individuals, and it can probably be around 20 to 30% of our energy each day. But then we've got exercise, which is another component, which is our structured physical activity, like running or lifting. And depending on where it gets complicated, anything from someone who doesn't do any exercise to up to someone who's an elite athlete, it can probably contribute anywhere from 10 to 50% of our daily energy use. So depending on the individual, but the thing is, the more that you exercise, you also become more efficient at burning energy, and also that NEAT or non-exercise activity thermogenesis might go down, and you know, the proportion of each component can actually shift as well. So I guess between individuals, we can predict how much someone's metabolic rate is at rest just based on their age and size, and you know, whether they're male or female.
So just on that, let's say we've you've predicted our metabolic rate. How do we increase that? Because I imagine you mentioned that there's a basal metabolic rate, you know, we're just sitting at our desks or what have you, you know, our brains using energy, you know, we want to increase. How can we increase that? What do we need to do?
To our resting metabolic rate. Well, that's, we obviously are more muscle. So the more muscle we have, our muscle is very metabolically active tissue. So resistance training, also probably gaining weight, or the bigger someone is, the more their metabolism will go up. But in terms, I think on the flip side, what happens when we actually restrict our calories or try and lose weight, or we don't eat enough food, we can drop our metabolic rate. So starvation response, and a lot of my research has looked at this, is called metabolic adaptation. So we get changes in dropping metabolic rate. We might lose some lean or muscle tissue, which further may contribute to those that slowing of the metabolic rate. But once we sort of start refeeding, but I guess the study with the metabolic, the Biggest Loser study, they actually showed that even when people regain that weight, what you would think that their metabolic rate should be according to their size, it was actually lower, so it never fully recovered.
So what we're doing then is, so we're essentially, we go on a diet, we restrict our our calories, and what's happening is we potentially are lowering that metabolic rate, and therefore, and when we go back to eating, we could have a lower metabolic rate, so we could be not burning as many calories.
So if you don't, if you don't adjust that as well, because what you'll find as well, and when you get those changes in body composition, so when we lose weight, mostly it's fat. But if we're not, you know, keeping that muscle and eating sufficient proteins, we can still, we lose some of that muscle. So, which then further can contribute to those losses in metabolic rate. But depending, it also depends on how much weight one loses. Like the Biggest Loser, they were losing like 80 kilos. But in some individuals, you still may see some, I guess, adaptation with smaller amounts of weight loss.
So, hey, just on that. So, if we do go on a diet, I just want to get my head around this. If we go on a diet, we don't want to slow our metabolism because we want to keep burning energy.
Yes.
The secret, the way we can identify that is by measuring the amount of muscle we got. Is that right? So, we just want to lose the fat, but not the muscle. Once we start losing the muscle, that's when we impact our rate. Is that?
Yes. So naturally, we probably will lose a little bit of muscle, but you want to minimize that. And that, I think, but as you lose weight and become smaller, obviously you've got less weight on your bones and body anyway. So you will lose naturally some muscles, but we've shown in some of our trials that we can, even despite, you know, as much as like 10% body weight and fat mass loss, we can maintain some of that muscle. And I guess when we're talking about latest weight loss drugs, there's this big thing of you know, people are also losing muscle but bone mineral density as well. So I guess once the weights come off, doing things like resistance exercise, and especially women in midlife and menopause, building that muscle, and you know, and that keeps our strength up, but it also supports our metabolism, which often we focus on the weight on the scales rather than that body composition, which is also important for reducing disease risk, I guess.
So, Hayley, if someone's listening and they're thinking, you know what, I need to get the you know, an optimal sort of exercise regime, and doing, say, cycling or running or walking or just cardio on itself is best, is it best to combine that with some sort of, you know, weight, muscle gaining exercise or resistance training as well?
Absolutely. And they have shown that, you know, the requirements, there's some really good studies recently published looking at physical activity or exercise and the types of exercise, whether that's moderate to vigorous, so sort of getting your heart rate up. So 140 minutes for women and around 300 minutes per week for men, and that you want at least two resistance or weight training sessions. The problem is a lot of people are not exercising, like with your weight at a weight that's heavy enough, you should be really maxing out. So it's got to be at a weight that's actually, you're almost going to failure. So you are building the muscle, like you're not just pushing around light weight. So it's actually having some effect. And they've shown actually when you're doing these, at least two weight sessions a week. So I think once you're getting to like 4, 5, and 6, it's not really an added benefit. But I'm looking at the outcomes such as all-cause mortality, cardiovascular disease, cancer risk goes down with exercise. So it's not all about the weight, but it's actually about lowering that disease risk as well.
So we lower the disease risk and we potentially increase our metabolism. Hayley, we've run out of time, unfortunately, because we've got to get to the news, but I reckon that's great. I didn't realize muscle is the key.
Absolutely. And I think that though the terms low and slow and fast metabolism, so the hypermetabolism is usually 10% above what you would expect normal. Yeah, so more pathological states such as hyperthyroidism and some chronic disease like diabetes or genetic disorders. Yes,
but if we don't have those, then someone says I've got a higher metabolism because I know you haven't.
Well, you don't know the full picture, like how active they are, how much they're fidgeting, what they're really consuming in a day. And obviously genetics does play a role, but you've got environment that has a huge, probably as much as 40 or 60% of that determination of someone's body mass index or body weight.
There, we've got it. Hayley, thank you so much for chatting with us.
No worries. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. That is Assistant Professor Hayley O'Neill from Bond University. There you go.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.